Want to increase your salary? Discover your earning potential with CareerBuilder. CareerBuilder.com knows you have superpowers that make you good at your job. They're called skills, and CareerBuilder.com has tools specially designed to help you move up, like CareerBuilder CoLab. Check out resume examples, learn what recruiters are looking for, search salaries, and view different career paths based on your skills. You'll be amazed to know how many ways you can use the skills you already have to build your future. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Man, we're really excited to be here. It's awesome to get started. And so now we take off.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
The Steelers are actually going to have practice today on the campus of St. Vincent College at Chuck Knoll Field. But, Labs, it wouldn't be Steelers Training Camp 2022 without some sort of a schedule change as far as the Steelers practice is concerned. Today, instead of the usual 1:55 practice start time, the Steelers just announced that practice will be moved up to 10:30 this morning. So, Labs, you got to hustle out of here once we're done. Once we sign off the air, you got to get down to the practice field pretty quickly.
Pretty much. And, you know, that intro that we play, you know, before the start of the show every day, Mike Tomlin says at one point, and so now we take off. I don't think he had any understanding of what those words were going to come to mean this training camp, because it's been, you know, on the road. This is Steelers camp on the road. Today it's not on the road, but it's not also not, as you mentioned, that the time has changed, which, hey, I'm just glad we're not getting on buses again, you know.
Yeah, enough of that already.
Right. But yeah, it'll be here because based, you know, one of the, you know, I am an old man, but you really feel like an old man when the first thing you do every morning is check the weather. you know, I checked the weather this morning when I first got up about 6:30. And, you know, because I get up in time for the 6:30 sports on DVE, the morning show.
It's your favorite part of the day, right?
Well, I can, you know, I'm right here.
Oh,
so
that too.
And it's right there. So, but yeah, I checked the weather and I saw that Latrobe is going to get pounded or supposed to get pounded all afternoon. So I was thinking, boy, there's really not a whole lot of open time slots here to try and get a practice in today, except for early in the morning. But I never, my wildest dreams, I never thought that it would actually happen. So, you know, for a change, when the email came from PR, I just held my breath as I opened it, and it said, just moved up to 10:30, and it's going to be at on campus. And I thought, oh, yay.
You dropped to your knees. Praise the skies.
started waving my terrible towel.
Well, yesterday they had to board one of those big yellow buses and head over to Latrobe Memorial Stadium. Soggy field conditions at Chuck Knoll Field did not allow them to have practice on campus. It wasn't exactly the same atmosphere, I'm sure, as a Friday Night Lights practice, but I'm sure it was a little bit of a step up atmosphere-wise than a usual practice at Chuck Knoll Field as well yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was just to add to a little bit more of the information you just gave, the situation on campus was not so much that the fields were soggy, okay, but the sidelines were really bad, you know.
So those are injuries waiting to happen right there.
Right, right. So that's why we went to Latrobe Stadium. Now, you know, the typical atmosphere, you know, when the buses pull up, there's all kinds of fans, you know, lining the – it's like a high school game.
Yeah.
You know, when the team runs out between the thing, you know, they don't have the paper sign that you burst through. But a lot of other things, you know, cheerleaders and high school cheerleaders and all that stuff. So there was some of that. It wasn't to the degree that you usually get on a Friday Night Lights situation. And the crowd was nowhere near the number. But it was still a – you know, it was Monday afternoon. you know. And so I forget which player said early in the early in this training camp when he saw all the fans here for a practice, he said something like, "Doesn't anybody work around here?" You know, and so, but you know, that's one, that line came into my head when I saw how many people were there. I'm thinking, holy, and the route up to the stadium, you know, people are out there with their phones, taking video of the buses and waving, come out on their front yards and they're waving their terrible towels and stuff. They had signs in their yards. I mean, it's really unbelievable the amount of support that you get, just, you know, riding up the school bus. So, you know, it was a little bit more amped, enthusiastic than it is at a typical practice here on campus. And the other thing is the fans were much more engaged in it. You know, you heard occasional chants coming up either for an individual player, you know, a lot of screaming for autographs, you know, that kind
of
stuff. But yeah, it was it was a little bit different. I have to admit, not again, not to the degree of Friday Night Lights, but, you know, much more of a degree than a typical practice on campus.
We're going to hear what Coach Tomlin had to say following practice yesterday at Latrobe Memorial Stadium in just a second, but we got to take care of our obligations first. The fans that were there were enthusiastic, you said, and they had a big reason to be enthusiastic because I heard from a very reliable source that Kenny Pickett made at least two big-time NFL throws on Monday, and my reliable source is you. So Kenny Pickett is – that's him, right? He's number one quarterback. Two NFL throws, bang, bang, we're done. Sorry, Mitch.
Well, you know, start casting the bust for Canton, Ohio.
Yep.
But seriously, one of the things, you know, that all college quarterbacks have to grasp is the difference between what's open in college and what's open in the NFL and what's required, you know, to make throws in the NFL. You know, the windows are tighter, and the pace of the ball has to be, you know, a lot more, because you lollygag it out outside the numbers, man, that is an interception 90% of the time. You know, I remember back in, you know, Alex Van Pelt, he was a 7th-round draft pick or 12th-round draft pick, wherever it was early in Bill Cowher's career before they really shortened the draft. And, you know, he broke all of Dan Marino's records at Pitt, just like Kenny Pickett then broke all of Alex Van Pelt's records at Pitt. And Bill Cowher used to bring the rookies and new players in for about 5 or 6 days before he brought the veterans in. So Alex Van Pelt, you know, did this 5 or 6 days, and then the veterans show up. So it's first practice in pads. There was no acclimation period. So the day you showed up, it was practice in pads. And first 11 on 11, they had the first team defense out there against, you know, the bottom of the depth chart offense. That's how Bill Cowher liked to do it at the start. And Alex Van Pelt, on the first play, he threw an out pattern at Rod Woodson's side. And Woodson jumped the route, was so fast, he almost overran it before he picked it off for a touchdown. So that's my story about, you know, the difference between being a successful college quarterback and being one, you know, being one in the NFL. And so Kenny Pickett made at least two throws that were, to me, very eye-opening. Outside the numbers, 15 to 18 yards down the field, and he was on the one hash, and he threw it to the other side of the field outside the numbers. So it's a pretty long throw for a 15-yard, you know, gain down the field. And the ball was delivered on time. You know, he didn't wait until the receiver completed the route. He threw it as the guy was making the break or right before. And the ball was on target and had good pace on it because the defensive back couldn't make a play on it. So, you know, I'm not saying that his arm got stronger since camp reported or camp opened. He reported for camp. But it seems to me that based on yesterday, he's starting to pick up, you know, the difference between throwing those kinds of patterns in college and throwing them in the NFL. You know, to me, to compare it to something and, you know, hey, let's blow it out of proportion because that's what we're here to do.
Hell yeah.
Remember that the day, I guess it was a week ago or something, we talked about Mitch Trubisky and it kind of seemed like a turning point for him.
Yep.
In the offense. Well, I don't want to say it was the whole offense, but I thought it was a turning point for Pickett in terms of, as I said, you know, understanding what he needed to do. And quite honestly, I didn't know if he had that kind of arm or not because we really hadn't seen it yet. But so, like you said, competition's over.
Number eight's your starter. Lock it in.
Well, let me say this. You know, I as I said, I just you feel a lot better about the pick, the first round pick of the guy.
Okay.
When you can see him,
yeah,
you know, start to do these kinds of things because, you know, there's successful college quarterbacks, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be good in the NFL. You know, do they have the tools? Does he have the raw skills? And then does he get it? You have to get it too. And he seems to be getting it. And yesterday I saw the arm that I really hadn't noticed before.
No, that's very encouraging to hear that. And, you know, as far as Kenny's progress is concerned, I know a lot of people out there in Steeler Nation want him to be Joe Burrow, get in there right away, be the starter from day one. But you have to be encouraged as well with the progression that he's had. You know, like you said, you're starting to see signs of him being that first-round pick with those two big-time throws that he had yesterday. He's starting to get some touchdowns in seven-shots drills when he gets the opportunity. So you have to be encouraged with his growth so far. It's not worst-case scenario where he looked lost to begin, and he just looks even more lost as he's worked his way through about a week and a half of camp. So definitely some encouraging things to take away from Kenny's progress, even though, all jokes aside, he's not really there yet as far as threatening Mitch for number one.
I don't think so, but I mean, again, I'm not there every day, you know, in all of the meetings and all that other stuff. I would still think, you know, that Trubisky has shown enough to hold on to the job. I think that in this particular instance, at this specific position, given their difference in experience and, you know, things that Trubisky has already accomplished in the league, you know, winning record as a starter, two appearances in the playoffs, one Pro Bowl. I mean, you know, you can say what you want about Trubisky, what he's not, and was he a wasted second overall pick and they should have picked Deshaun Watson or whatever else, you know, the Bears fans want to complain about. A lot of that is legitimate. But, you know, there's always been a difference in my mind between thinking what a guy can do at the NFL level and being able to plug in the video or the, you know, and see him doing it. So, you know, the Steelers have seen, and the league has seen Trubisky do some things that when you transfer them to Kenny Pickett, they're still projections. He's still a rookie. I mean, he, you know, it's not a slight against him. It's just that, hey, you know, he's younger. He's the newcomer, but, you know, when you're in the situation that the Steelers are in this particular for the start of this particular season, you have what you have. I thought that Trubisky was going to have to lose the job,
right?
You know, because I don't think that if Trubisky is, you know, what he has been in the NFL so far, if he was that this training camp and preseason, I didn't know whether it was possible for Pickett as a rookie to come in and usurp him. You know, because let's face it, Ben Roethlisberger was a much more talented player as a in his rookie training camp.
No question.
And Tommy Maddox was a much worse guy to try and beat out than Trubisky. And Roethlisberger didn't do it. He got his chance because Maddox got hurt. So, you know, coming in as a rookie and beating out an established NFL starter in their first training camp, it has to be a situation where the established guy loses the job as much as the rookie wins it, because it's really not that likely. There's not enough time. You know, and then the Roethlisberger Maddox thing, let's not forget the famous Alan Faneca quote. this is a multi-time all-pro guard, and Faneca was not a mouthy, kind of guy either. He was thoughtful and introspective, and you know, and when Maddox got hurt against the Ravens in that second game of the 2004 season, that Monday after that, when the PR department brought Faneca in kind of as a sacrificial lamb to the media there that day, and somebody asked him, "Are you excited to see what the rookie can do?" And he like looked at him like, "Are you out of your mind? Excited?" "No, I'm not excited. You know, we're grown," and I'm paraphrasing,
right,
"we're grown men here. This is a business. We're not this kid's, you know, he's wet behind the ears. I'm not excited about this, you know." But so that's the attitude, right, too, of his teammates, of whoever the rookie is. So, but yeah, Kenny Pickett's making progress.
Coach Tomlin spoke to the media following practice at Latrobe Memorial Stadium yesterday. Let's take a listen to what Coach T had to say right here on the training camp report.
"Glad that we had an opportunity to come back over here to this venue and entertain the fans. They're a source of energy for us. It's a big day for us, you know, just hitting some elements of situational football. We got to continue to introduce those components of the game to them and teach and learn. We'll be in the stadium at the end of the week, and that's just the reality of it. And there needs to be a certain level of preparedness. I'm excited about just guys working their way back to us. Alualu came off the list today and was able to begin his process. Many of the others are starting to work in a partial capacity, and the key is for us not to take any steps backwards as we move forward with these guys and pushing them back to full participation. And so from that standpoint, I thought it was good. Got a couple of new bumps and bruises to manage and deal with. Highsmith, ribs, Deontay Johnson, hip flexor, Avery, groin, things associated with this time of year, Dotson, ankle. We'll get those guys evaluated. Hopefully those can be described as day-to-day, and we will continue with this process. Questions?
Mike, to your earlier point, plays with the physicality that you saw here today.
You know, a short yardage and goal line, and there's no way around that. When there's a line to gain, and it's of that nature, you get to know yourselves and each other pretty quickly, and I like the efforts and the urgency relative to that segment brought today. Yeah, it was just day-to-day, though.
Ogunjobi was just talking about how good it was to get out there, test the foot, get involved. From your standpoint, what was it like to see him being woven into this defensive front?
Didn't take long for his presence to be felt. He's a big man. He comes off blocks. We're glad to have him out there, and we look forward to him just getting better and better.
Mika made a big hit on that look in the goal line situation. What was it like to see him coming back out and looking physical right away?
We know Mink.
That's Coach Tomlin speaking to the media following practice yesterday. Very chatty mood Coach Tomlin was in after practice. He gave a lot of time to the media. A lot of stuff to get into there, but quickly wanted to touch on before we hit the break some things he said about the injury report and some pre-practice roster moves. Before Monday's practice, the Steelers signed outside linebacker Rondell Carter and waived/injured outside linebacker T.D. Moultrie. And as you heard Tomlin said, the team also activated defensive lineman Tyson Alualu from the PUP list. A couple other injuries, Highsmith, Deontay Johnson, Jannard Avery, and Kevin Donson, all hoping to be just day-to-day, hoping you can see those guys in the first preseason game on Saturday. Reinforcements are coming, though, Labs. You know, he didn't mention it, but Freiermuth was a full participant in practice. They touched on Ogunjobi a little bit. Team's starting to round into some good health right now.
Yeah, and after the break, one of the things I want to get into is, you know, the addition of Ogunjobi,
yeah,
and
definitely
how it makes the pick of Pickett in the first round that much more makes that much more sense.
That's an expertise from you there, Labs. Let's just hit the break now. When we come back on the other side, we'll dive into that Ogunjobi topic, and we're going to talk about the 7 shots and goal line session from yesterday's practice. A lot more on the way here on the Steelers Training Camp Report right here on SNR.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Steelers practice today was moved up to 10:30 a.m., so just a little over an hour away until the Steelers take the field for practice. If you were planning on heading up to Latrobe for the practice, it is still open to the public. You're just going to have to get there a whole heck of a lot earlier. So if we're just breaking the news to you now, you might want to run to the car and head on up Route 30 to head to Latrobe. Labs, we ended the last segment listening to Tomlin, and he touched on Larry Ogunjobi's return to practice in a full capacity, and you could tell in his tone of voice that he really loved what he had to see, even in just that first initial look at him as a full go. This guy has a lot on his shoulders this year, brought in, was signed to the Bears on a long-term deal, didn't pass his physical, so the Steelers got lucky there and were able to snatch him up on a one-year deal. Everything looks fine health-wise for him now, and like I said, just a lot on his plate, or a lot on his shoulders as far as helping improve that defensive line and helping stop that, helping improve that run defense this year.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at Ogunjobi, and I'm not going to imply that the Steelers had foresaw this eventuality when they were, preparing for the draft and deciding on, Kenny Pickett in the first round. But I'm here to tell everybody that Larry Ogunjobi is a better defensive lineman than they could have picked 20th overall.
Nice.
And this guy, he is what, in the pre-draft run-up, one of the things that, I would say when, did they pick Jordan Davis? He was the common name thrown out as a defensive lineman. And I don't know, Jordan Davis could turn out to be a really good player, and I'm not here to demean him or anything, but this was my point about him as someone who, and again, I'm not a scout. My exposure to college football is what's on SEC Saturdays at 3:30 on CBS. Okay. And so, you saw a good bit of Georgia because they were very good. Right. And then certainly in the college football playoffs, national championship game. Okay. Now, the thing with Jordan Davis that I won't say I didn't like, but made me pause was that he had, they took him out in passing situations. Hmm. Now, this is a Georgia team that hadn't won a national championship in a long, long time. And so, to me, the argument that, they wanted to, get other guys playing time, that doesn't really hold true for me. Because if this guy was that good, you leave him on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, Kirby Smart needed to win a championship. He needed to beat Alabama, I'm not saying to save his job, but certainly to get the program, where he wants it to be, which is, at the top of the preseason polls every year. And then that allows you to recruit and stay there. And, that's a whole cycle.
Right.
So, when people would compare him to Casey Hampton, my response always was Casey Hampton came out of the game on third downs. and Casey Hampton's great run stuffer. But he was fortunate enough to play in an era when running the ball on first and second downs was still kind of policy.
It's like a given, almost,
because NFL teams they didn't come out in five wides first series and start throwing the ball all over the field. Then it just wasn't the way the game was played. So, my response about Jordan Davis was, he's a great run stuffer, but the offense is not going to cooperate and run the ball when he's in the game. They just won't. And so then what? Then what do you have? I mean, you need some kind of – the guy doesn't have to be Aaron Donald in terms of sacking the quarterback, but you need to have get some kind of contributions – from people who play in the middle of the defensive line against the pass. pass. They have to be able to contribute in a positive way to your pass defense. And for guys in the middle of the defensive line, that usually means, you know, rushing the passer. Remember Javon Hargrave.
Yep.
You know, the Steelers made him a third-round pick a while ago. I can't remember the year off the top of my head. And one of the reasons that they liked him was because he was able to provide, you know, some pass help to the pass rush, you know, as an interior defensive lineman. And as Hargrave developed and showed that he could do that, you know, then he signs a $39 million free agent contract with the Eagles.
Priced himself and so out that of Pittsburgh, yep.
Well, but that shows you how valued that is. Okay, so this brings me back to Larry Ogunjobi. Larry Ogunjobi is a good interior defensive lineman against the run. He's, as Mike Tomlin described him somewhat yesterday, he's a grown man. And he is hard to move. He is physical. He gets off blocks. Okay. He also had 7 sacks in 2021 for the Bengals. So, you know, you have him as an interior guy. You know, all of a sudden now, teams can't just swing their protections to TJ Watt's side all the time because Ogunjobi can make hay up the middle. So this is a guy now who you were able to add. I get it. It's a 1-year deal. And, you know, this is, we're going to have to revisit this all, you know, that next offseason.
Right.
But his addition allowed the Steelers to come out of the offseason process with a proven run stuffer, with some pass rush ability to contribute to the pass rush, and the best quarterback in the draft. So now it didn't have to be an either or situation.
Right.
You got them both things that I think you could look at as needs / wants for the Steelers coming out of the offseason. Someone to strengthen their run defense, and a quarterback you can develop or think you can develop, you know, into a quality NFL starter. So, you know, call it luck, call it foresight, call it whatever you want to call it. But what you got to call it right now is reality.
And I'm happy that it is reality. I'm excited to see Ogunjobi this year. He's one of the players I'm most anticipating watching in 2022. I'm sure the fans are feeling the same way. If not, they should be, because, you know, it's important to note as well, Labs, he's only going to be 28 years old. He's had about 5 years of experience in the NFL already, 4 with Cleveland, 1 with Cincinnati last year. So he's got a lot of experience under his belt, and still, you'd assume, a decent amount of tread left on the tires. You mentioned it's a 1-year deal. You have to revisit things in this upcoming offseason if things go well for Ogunjobi. But this is a guy that could be more than just a, you know, plug-in guy for 1 year and then try to find the long-term solution. He could be the long-term solution. I mean, out of the big three, Hayward, Alualu, and himself, he's the young gun in that room. So there's still a pretty decent future when it comes to Ogunjobi, as long as, you know, he plays well this season.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is going to be tied to his health.
Yeah.
You know, the foot seems fine right now, and he got out and, you know, did some things, and hopefully that continues. You know, and I would anticipate, you know, from Mike Tomlin's history, what they've seen from him already, Ogunjobi, I mean, you know, Ogunjobi is going to become one of those guys who, you know, gets veterans days off, and he's not going to play a lot in the preseason. He's a guy you want him ready for September 11th against the Bengals. He's a guy that you want to spend the rest of your time up here at training camp and then through the rest of the preseason having him get his body ready for the regular season. I don't think you need to see a lot from him in the preseason against, you know, the Seattle and Jacksonville and the Lions. You know, because if you want to see what Larry Ogunjobi can do, you know, ring up NFL Films and say, send me all, you know, the Bengals and the Browns video from the last 5 years. And you can watch him do it against NFL teams. So this is a guy who, you know, he's a real player. And he came ready-made as a real player. So it's a very nice acquisition, and I think that this guy's going to be a help where the Steelers need help on the defensive line.
You noted in your practice report, Labs, that the highlights of the day yesterday were the ones that opened and closed the session of practice, seven shots and goal line. Let's start with seven shots. Everybody is watching the offense in seven shots with great interest, wanting the offense to start to get some traction. And it was a great start for Mitch Trubisky in the offense. 2-0 lead, touchdown to Anthony McFarland, touchdown to Deontay Johnson. But then things kind of went south and started to look like the familiar seven shots that we've seen the past few days of practice.
Well, you know, and again, the defense is pretty good.
Right.
But, as I said, as you mentioned, it started out really good. But then things, you know, swung back to the defense a little bit. There was a one play. It could have been a 4-3 finish, as I mentioned in the one pass, to Sternberger. It was in a crowd, and he kind of went down. He had to go down with the ball to get the ball, and all the defense. If you've ever seen this, all the defensive players were all signaling incomplete, and all the offensive players are signaling touchdowns. And the NFL officials, their tour through the league continues, so their time at St. Vincent had ended. And so they had moved on. So you got no idea, who you're going to believe. If you like offense, you're believing it's a touchdown. If you like defense, you're believing it's incomplete. So, that was that play. And then the other play was a nice job by Carl Joseph. Kenny Pickett, who came in for the seventh rep of the seven shots, he threw a pass to Gunnar Olszewski, who had the ball in his hands, but, Carl Joseph was right on his back, and he got his hand in there, and he's, raking at the ball the whole time. And from my vantage point, he got it out before Olszewski got on the ground. So he wasn't able to complete the catch, and so it's a win for the defense. But, it was very close. It's not like the offense was dominated or anything, but, hey, you keep score, the winner's the winner, and, you don't get to say we almost won. Because as Mike Pursuta tells me all the time, what do you call almost winning? Losing. So, there was that. But Trubisky started out pretty good, successful, and, line up and do it again today.
And as far as the goal line session went, it seemed like the offense had a decent amount of success. They scored two times, but you noted that the fans were still a little disappointed because the way that they scored was via two passes and a jet sweep. They scored on two of those plays instead of, handing the ball off and muscling it into the end zone. When they tried that on the first play of the drill, Benny Snell got stuffed by Minka Fitzpatrick and did not make it across the plane. So it was successful offensively for a couple of reps, but like you noted, the fans wanted to see that old school cloud of dust pound that ball over the goal line.
Yeah, and let me just throw this out there too. It didn't make the practice report, but on the final rep of the goal line drill, the offense did run it into the end zone.
Well, there you go.
But what Steelers fans, this is the same thing, and I get these questions and suggestions all the time. The Steelers need to go back to a, run first mentality and, all of that kind of stuff. And I do remember there in 2004, this was coming out of the Tommy Maddox mistake, as I always said. Bill Cowher had nicknamed that offseason reestablishing the mindset. And there was a big emphasis on power football, running the ball, coming off the line of scrimmage. I'm talking about from the offense, coming off the line of scrimmage and playing physical in every area of the field. And so Bill Cowher used goal line, a lot more often and in more showcasey kind of situations than Mike Tomlin does. So at one point, Ken Wisenhunt was the new offensive coordinator because Mike Mularkey had taken the job, I think it was Buffalo. So Wisenhunt ran the ball 14 straight times, never got it in the end zone. And I asked, it was after they did it on a Saturday afternoon practice, goal line, he's 0-for-4. made it, it was 14 in a row. So I asked him, I said, you know, did you ever think of a play action pass? And he said, no. He said, it's for me, it's more important to set a tone and make the offensive players understand that we're going to be physical in this area of the field and they need to win their matchups than it is for me to call a play that scores a touchdown in August. Okay, fine. That's a legitimate point to make. In 2004, you know, when you have Fanica on the offensive line and Bettis in the backfield, it's a whole other element as well. Now, Najee Harris is no slouch, but he wasn't practicing yesterday.
Right.
But, you know, today, again, as we were saying, as I was saying earlier, offenses don't necessarily do that. You know, first and goal at the two doesn't mean you're going to run the ball three times and then either kick a field goal or line up for the extra point. And as I mentioned also, the two passes and the jet sweep, that's three plays. They scored two touchdowns on that. So, you know, I think Steeler fans need to kind of update themselves a little bit and decide whether it's important that you score a touchdown or does it only, you know, only count for really 6 points if you run it in. Last time I checked the rule book, if you throw it or trick the defense and score and get across the goal line, it's still 6 points.
Are you sure it's not 4 points? They didn't update that?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, it's – I think it's – you know, style points, you know, sure, you would like to see, you know, be the bullies, push the opponent around, you know, all of that good stuff. But, you know, I don't know that the New England Patriots have done a whole lot of pushing the opponent around. And, you know, they have six Super Bowls, too. So, you know, times change. The way the sport is officiated now. Makes throwing easier. And as I've said many times, I've told this story many times too. When Mike Tomlin first introduced seven shots, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger and the complement of skill position players, I hope Wolf and Max aren't listening now, skill position players that he could throw out there, you know, Heath Miller, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, you know, those kind of people, to me, that was stealing.
Yep.
You know, they line them up, spread everybody out, snap the ball to Ben, and bang, run a quick crossing route. The ball's out of his hand, and it's in the end zone. So I don't remember a lot of complaining about it then. You know, oh, they're not running the ball. But now there's complaining about it. Oh, they're not running the ball up the middle and all that stuff. Well, I just think it's going to be different. And to me, if it's successful, it's successful. You know, I don't know that the Kansas City Chiefs do a lot of that. Pounding the ball into the end zone too. You know, you put it in Mahomes' hands and he looks for Kelce or used to be Tyreek Hill, who's now with the Dolphins, you know, or Sammy Watkins, who's now with another team. When you have that array of weapons, you know, with a guy who is as adept at Mahomes is as Ben was, you know, finding the open guy and delivering the ball on time and with accuracy, why do you want to do it any other way? Just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, the Steelers' defense has certainly been earning style points throughout training camp so far. Steelers' safety Minkah Fitzpatrick has returned to practice in the past couple of days, and he spoke to the media yesterday. We're going to hear what Minkah had to say on the other side of the break and touch on his running mate in the secondary. He had some things to say about Edmonds that I want to get into with Labs as well to wrap things up. So that's all on the way next right here on the Steelers' Training Camp Report on SNR.
Starting over and having a new guy. So, you know, having him back there is big. He's a smart guy, athletic guy, great player. So, definitely big for us to have him back there again.
What does he do to compliment you?
I think we allow each other to play our game. You know what I'm saying? I think when I'm back there in the post, you know, that's my game. And he likes coming down and covers and being aggressive in the box. So we allow each other just to free up and play our game. And we're both also versatile enough to do the opposite. And not give the quarterbacks a setting up.
Nick, do you expect the defense to be improved or dominated?
Dominated.
Why is that?
Because we can't be.
Why is that?
Because you got good players.
Real quick media session with Minkah yesterday, and two things that, you know, he touched on there. One was how excited he was that Terrell Edmonds was back as his running mate and how important that was to him. And I love what he said at the end there, where he expects nothing less but the defense to be dominating in the 2022 season. And they have dominant players, so it certainly makes sense that it would translate to the unit as a whole becoming elite. But sticking with Edmonds, you know, well, unknown if the Steelers were going to bring him back. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option a couple of years ago, and now he was a free agent this year, tested the market, didn't really get what he would hope for in the market, came back on a one-year deal, very affordable one-year deal with the Steelers, and I think no one's more happy than that, than Minka, that they got that deal done, as you could hear him say there. Just the familiarity that they've been able to establish with each other, and just the fact that Minka seems to trust Edmonds, now entering what would be, I believe, their fourth year together. It's huge, and that chemistry between them is super valuable. You don't want to have Minka have to, you know, reestablish chemistry with another running mate in that secondary.
Yeah, and, you know, Terrell Edmonds, in my opinion, and I've been told this too by people who, you know, are paid to study these things, you know, he's gotten better throughout his first 4 years in the NFL, now going into his fifth. And, you know, I think one of the things that has made him less than a favorite son of Steelers fans is that, you know, he's not a big ball hawk kind of safety. And, you know, that's not his game. And, you know, it's okay that it's not.
Right.
And that's why the Steelers needed Minka Fitzpatrick. That was one of the reasons that they were willing to give up a first-round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick, and that's why Minka Fitzpatrick is a three-time first-team All-Pro. Now, you know, you can't have, even though it would be nice, but everybody can't do, make the splash plays all the time.
Right.
But what Terrell Edmonds does, he makes a lot of tackles, he plays a lot of snaps, and he doesn't miss any games. I mean, this guy has played 4,011 defensive snaps in four seasons. And let's not forget, his first of those four seasons, he was a rookie. So he played in every game as a rookie, started 15, and he played 93% of the defensive snaps and 50% of the special team snaps. So this is a guy who's always there. He's always available.
Right.
He's always, on the field doing something to contribute, because otherwise he wouldn't be on the field so much.
A lot of people say that's the best ability too, is availability. So he's checking.
Well,
that
and
box.
A lot of those, right? And a lot of those people are coaches who say that. And you know, it's important that you're not having to constantly find someone else to play that position. And as you mentioned, you know, the coordination, the cohesion that you need from a defensive secondary, if you're constantly juggling people, you know, that's difficult to establish. So, you know, Terrell Edmonds, I think, is a quality NFL starter. Is he ever going to be first team All Pro? I don't know. I would, if you make me answer the question yes or no right now, I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because when the voters vote for that stuff, they look at things like takeaways. You know, if you're a defensive back, you got to have takeaways. You know, Terrell Edmonds has never had more than two interceptions in a season, and he has five, you know, over his first four. And that's not going to get you those kinds of votes for that stuff. It's just not. But again, that doesn't mean he's not a valuable player. I remember, you know, Carnell Lake's early career. That was the constant rap on him. You know, didn't make any plays on the ball. Well, you know, in that secondary, you had Woodson at cornerback, and in my opinion, one of the most underrated Steelers of the modern era, which I would usually classify as the start of Bill Cowher's tenure
right,
to the present. He had over 30 interceptions. This guy was an eighth-round draft pick. So some people have that knack for being around the football, and their position and how they're used at that position is conducive to that, and other guys just do other things. I mean, I don't think anyone would argue that Carnell Lake was an extremely valuable player, and as his career continued, you know, he was doing things like moving from safety to corner and saving a couple of Steelers seasons when injuries racked that position. So, you know, give it time with Edmonds. I think that because he was a first round pick and the money that's involved, you know, what you had to pay him to for the fifth year option. You look at it and you know you're in something of a cap crunch and
yep.
you have to evaluate it. I think he's worth what he's making now, certainly. And I would think that the Steelers, you know, would like to continue the relationship if it's at all possible financially moving forward. You know, we're going to have to see how that works out. But in no stretch of the imagination, in my opinion, is Terrell Edmonds a liability.
No, no question. And do you think the fact that he was a late first-round pick in a weird way kind of works against him now when it comes to the perception of his play from the fans or maybe even those around the league? Because you get a guy in the first round, you want him to be that superstar ball hawk playmaking kind of player, but it's not exactly like you're going to label this guy as a bust when he plays in almost every single NFL game that he's had the opportunity to for the past 4 to 5 years.
Right, and again, I mean, that's not his forte, you know, ball hawking.
Right.
It's just not. And, you know, that's okay because there are a lot of guys in this league who are contributing as quality starters to their teams who are not big-time takeaway guys. And so, you know, I think that had Terrell Edmonds come in after Minka, then I don't think he's viewed the same way. Because a lot of people's minds are made up right away.
Yep.
You know, they were looking for, you know, the Steelers were looking for secondary help back in those days. And, you know, the Artie Burns pick and the Terrell Edmonds pick. I'm not putting them in the same category. I'm just talking about the era in which they were first round picks. The Steelers were looking for that kind of ball hawking takeaway defensive back. You know, and
yep.
Neither one of those guys was that. But, I mean, Terrell Edmonds is a quality NFL starter, and Artie Burns was not. So, you know, comparing them is unfair, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to draw some sort of picture where you can maybe try and understand why he was pigeonholed the way he was pigeonholed and doesn't seem to be able to get out of that out of that box right now.
Steelers practice today is at 10:30 a.m., another schedule change for you, moving up from the usual 1:55 practice time. It is on campus at St. Vincent College at Chuck Knoll Field, so if you're headed up, make sure you head to campus, but make sure you get there a lot earlier than you were planning to for a 10:30 practice start. That's going to do it for us today here on the Training Camp Report. Handing things off to Wolf and Starks in the locker room next. Labs and I will be back again tomorrow recapping today's practice at 9 a.m. right here on Steelers Nation Radio.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.